Well, good evening and welcome to Ignite Depot. My name is Milt Jones. I want to thank you for joining us tonight. Let's just begin to declare that this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad in it. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. I'm so glad that you took the time out today to join us for a Rhema word, a right now word, a word in due season that I know will ultimately change your life forever. So we're going to jump right into the word tonight in the name of Jesus. Again, my name is Milt Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot, a.k.a. We Are ID3, where our goal each time is to help you to realize who God, to know who God is and what his desire is for your life. So we're going to go ahead and make our declaration and jump right into the word in Jesus' name. We make this declaration in according to Isaiah 61:1, which says this. It says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captive and to open the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolation of many generations. Father, to you alone, we give all the glory, the honor, and praise that is due your name. Father, we thank you that this is the day which you've made. We will rejoice and we will be exceedingly glad. Father, I thank you that our preaching and teaching, and I declare unto you that our preaching and teaching will not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but let it be in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Father, I covenant with you for miracles, signs, wonders, manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit as you see fit. Father, I decrease that you may increase 100% of you, Father God, in the name of Jesus. I believe that you've given us ears to hear it and eyes to see, and our hearts are open and ready to receive the engrafted word of God that will ultimately change our lives forever. Father, let my tongue be the pen of a ready writer, writing the very oracles of your word upon the tables of their heart, that their lives will be forever changed. And it's with you alone I give all the glory and all the honor and praise that is due your name, in Jesus' name. Amen and glory to God. Again, my name is Milt Jones. I'm the senior leader here at Ignite Depot, and I want to thank you for joining us for a right now word tonight. And I know that it's going to be a blessing unto you, because in accordance to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 21, it says this. It says, the lips of the uncompromisingly righteous feed and guide many. The lips of the uncompromisingly righteous lead and guide many. So I'm praying tonight that as this word goes forth, that it will feed you, it will begin to guide you so that you can live your best life yet, in the name of Jesus. Man, I'm going to be 100% transparent with you. I got like two messages right now. The Father and I have been working on throughout the week. And the second one, he really began dealing with me about it this morning. And in the last couple hours, he's really been talking to me about it. So I'm just going to follow out to him, if that's okay with you. And so you may not get any pop-ups on the screen, but man, I'm going to give you every address that we're going to go to. Now, we've been in a series over the last 3 months, which, just 100% honest, I didn't think it would take us 3 months. I thought it would, in my schedule, I thought it would be like maybe 4, maybe 5 weeks that we was going to talk about, because God says, you know, hey, you know, I want you to do this series on, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me how to pray. And, you know, I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm going to look up, I'm going to do the research, I'm going to do the study and find out exactly how to go about it. And I had it laid out and everything, and it looked good and all that. But when I got into it, it took 4 to 5 weeks just to lay the foundation of prayer. Because sometimes what happens is we come in and we believe we already have a plan. And we said, I got a plan. I know exactly how this is going to work out. I'm going to write it all down. I got my plan. And you know, in essence, when we began the study on Lord, teach me how to pray, I'm like, okay, it's going to take 4 to 5 weeks to begin to teach people how to pray. how to pray according to the kingdom of God. I'm like, okay, cool, no big deal. Then he was like, okay, that you laid out the first 4 to 5 weeks was just to lay out the foundation about Lord, teach me how to pray. How do we get to this point? Then the last, I would say 8 weeks has been, what are the practical points of prayer? What are the practical points of prayer? Because you have the information side and then you have the practical side. And that's exactly what he wants to talk to us about tonight. That's why if I was to give this message a title, the title of this message is, what's the big deal? Practical points of prayer. What's the big deal? And what's the big deal is this. And like I said, with this second message, I didn't have enough time to put all this information into the system. So I'm just gonna share it with you the way that he gave it to me. Is that okay? Okay. Now, God said, and according to Hosea chapter 4, verse number 6, he's talking about this. What he says, I'll just share the conversation with you. He says, Milton, he says, and according to Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, my people are being destroyed for their lack of knowledge, or my people are being destroyed because of their lack of information, or their ignorance to the topics, the standards, the processes, the procedures, the practical steps on how to do my word. He says, my people are being destroyed because of their lack of knowledge. He says it's because the priestly nations have rejected the knowledge. It's not that the knowledge is not available. It's that people are beginning to reject the knowledge and they're beginning to replace it with something altogether different. And I was like, okay, this is how it came about. He started off, he says, you've got to grow up to go up. He says, my people have got to grow up in order to go up. He says, in accordance to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, he says, Paul's writing to the Corinthian church. He says that when I was a child, he says, I spake as a child. He says, I understood as a child. He said, I thought as a child. He says, but when I became a man, he said, I put away all those childish things. So I went back and I started studying out, what does those words mean? He says, when I was a child, when I was a child means when I was an immature Christian, he says, I understood. He said, first of all, as an immature Christian, he said, I spake, he said, or I uttered words as an immature Christian. He says, I understood, or I had opinions, or my sentence was based off of being an immature Christian. And he says, and I thought, he says, or came to a conclusions as an immature Christian. He says, but when I became, or when I, he says, when I began to mature, he says, then I put away all those immature things. He says, many people in the body of Christ today, believe they know a lot more than what it is they actually know. And he says, and he says, because they believe they know, they believe that when they hear the word going forth on a subject like prayer, I already know about that. So what's the big deal? He says, and when you talk to them about how to live a holy life, they said, I already know about that. So what's the big deal? And he says, and when you start talking to people about how to handle their finance, he says, they're like, I already heard that. He says, so what's the big deal? He says, the big deal is this, in accordance to Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11, I'm reading out the Amplified version. He says it this way. He says, the big deal is when you was a child, when you was an immature Christian, he says, you spake like an immature Christian, you thought like an immature Christian, and you understood like an immature Christian. He says, but when you begin to grow up, he says, I need you to begin to grow up so that in order for you to be able to go up. He says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 11, he says it this way. He says, concerning this, he says, we have so much to say, which is hard to explain. He says, since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing,
He says you become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, even slothful in achieving spiritual insights. He says it's not even the fact that the word is not going forth. It's not even the fact that the word is not available. Remember, he says my people are being destroyed for their lack of knowledge, not because knowledge is not available to them. He says, but people begin to reject that knowledge because they said, I've already heard that before. So what's the big deal? He says, the word of God continues to say in Hebrews chapter 5, he says it this way. He says, for even though by this time, he says, you ought to be teaching others. He says, a lot of people in the body of Christ, you've been in the body of Christ 5, 6, 10, 15, some people 20 years. He says, and even though chronologically, you've been a member of the body of Christ for many years, he says, but from a spiritual standpoint, he says, you are still carrying on like unmature or immature Christian, or like a babe in Christ. And man, this is not a slam. Man, the word of God says in Hebrews chapter 12, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, or he corrects, or he admonishes, or he begins to show them. Why? Because he loves them. Man, you should never get upset when God says, hey, I want to point something out to you, because it's not, God does not condemn. God gently corrects. And that's what's going on tonight. And he says, I need you to teach them, help them understand. When they ask, what's the big deal about all those practical points of prayer? What's the big deal? He says, I'm going to explain it to you. He says, by this time, you should be teaching other people. He says, but actually, you need someone else to teach you again, or to go over with you again the very first principles of God's word. He said, you should be teaching other people by now. He says, but you're at the point right now, you need people to come back and begin to teach you about the first principles of God's word. He says, you have come to need milk and not solid food. He says, for everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskillful in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will and purpose, thought and action. For he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet. But solid food is for the full grown men, for those whose senses and mental faculties are trained by practice of discriminate and distinguish between, who are able to discriminate and distinguish between what is morally good and noble and what is good or what is evil and contrary. He says, man, by now you should already be teachers. He says, but you're at the point you're at right now, you need somebody to come right around and teach you the first principles of God's word. And so many people, when you begin to talk to them about prayer, and they say, I already know how to pray because I heard this message that so-and-so prayed. And I heard this message that so-and-so preached. And I heard this podcast that so-and-so shared. He says, but when did you personally take the time out to you heard the message, but did you write the scriptures down and go back and study for yourself? Did you take the time to go back, or did you just parrot back what they said? Because remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God, not by having heard. And he says, too many of my people are hearing, but they're not doing. He says, they're hearing, but they're not putting it to practice. They're hearing, but they're not even sharing it with somebody else. He says, so when you ask the question, what's the big deal? He says, it's a huge deal. He says, because how are you going to give something to somebody else that you haven't gained full comprehension and understanding of on yourself? He says, I've given you tools to equip the body. He says, in accordance to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, he says it this way. He says, and Jesus gave gifts unto the church, some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. For what purpose? With the responsibility to equip the saints, to do the work of the ministry, to edify or build up the body of Christ. So God is actually giving you apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers whose main response, their sole responsibility is to help mature you or to grow you up in the things of God, to equip you so you can go about doing works of the ministry to be able to increase or grow the body of Christ. He says, in this in Jeremiah chapter 3:15, he says, I've given to you pastors after my own heart who will do what? Who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Knowledge and understanding. He says, in this time that we're in right now, he says, you get information so fast. He says, it's coming to people left, right, and center. He says, the information is coming to people so fast that when they're hearing it, you know, they hear it and they hear it. And before they even have an opportunity to get a solid understanding, a comprehension of whatever it is they just heard, they're hearing something else. And then they're hearing something else. And they're bombarding, and you're bombarded, and you're bombarded with all this information. And many people, because they have so much knowledge, he says, people are beginning to become puffed up. He says, because knowledge, he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1, and verse 2 and 3, he talks about how knowledge actually puffs up. He says this, he says, but while knowledge makes you feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. He says, anyone who claims to know all the answers doesn't really know very much. He says, but the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. He's saying this. He says, knowledge can puff you up. Knowledge can make you feel important. Knowledge can make you think you know a lot more than what it is you think you know. And see, there's a difference between knowledge and understanding and wisdom. And a lot of times when people hear the word, it says, man, do you have wisdom? Oh, man, I got a whole lot of wisdom. But what they're really saying is, man, I got a whole lot of knowledge. I got a whole lot of knowledge. What is knowledge? Knowledge simply means information. You have a lot of information. And in this world of technology with cell phones and iPads and social media and TikTok and Reels and YouTube and Facebook, man, you can get it. Stuff has happened all around the world, all the way in Maui. You know, that tragedy is going on in Maui. We praying for Maui. Man, what used to take days to hear, man, you're hearing about it in seconds. Why? Because all somebody got to do is break out a cell phone, put it on social media. Bam, the whole world knows in no time at all. And he says, you got all this knowledge coming to you. And because you have all this knowledge coming to you, many people in the body of Christ, because they hear so much word day in and day out, they believe they have a lot of wisdom. And God says, because you hear all this knowledge, you have become puffed up to the point like, I don't need to hear that no more. Psh, I already got that. Psh, I already heard that message before. Excuse me. You might even say, I know more about that than the person talking about it. But knowledge will puff you up and puff you up and puff you up and puff your head up till you look like one of those little, you know, have you ever seen the cartoon Pinky and the Brain? Pinky and the Brain, you got Pinky who's a tall mouth, but you got the Brain who's this little bitty mouse, but he got this big old head. And he has all this knowledge and all this information inside of him. He said, but even though he has all that knowledge, no matter how well he keeps trying to come up with all these diabolical plans, he never is able to accomplish much because he just has the information. He doesn't have the second piece of the puzzle, which is understanding. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, this says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. But in all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding is key, because if you have all that knowledge, which is a whole bunch of information, but if you don't have understanding, which is comprehension, do you have comprehension? Many people have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things, but they have very little comprehension. I could tell you, even when I was in university, I went to university for 4 years. I got a lot of information, but a lot of knowledge, a lot of information. But at the end of the day, I had some, but not as much comprehension of it as I did when I began to do the third part. But when I was in university, I was filled with a whole bunch of knowledge. And then when I was sitting in class, I began to get some level of comprehension. But in order for me to get more comprehension or understanding, what did I have to do? I had to go home and study it. I had to go home and study it. I had to go home and meditate on it. I had to go home and read over it again and again and again to the point I understood what it is that I was reading. And see, when you begin to do that, when you get the knowledge, which is the information, and you're studying so you can get comprehension, then comes the third part. Then comes the part that's known as wisdom. And wisdom is practical application. Now, I've got the information. I've got the comprehension and understanding. Now God has given me the revelation or the wisdom on how to carry out what it is I've got the knowledge on. And that's the reason why it's been 13 weeks that we've been talking about the subject of prayer, and we're taking it week by week, you know, step by step, not rushing through it. Why? Because just because you can hear and not hear, you can see and not see. Jesus even said that. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, preach. He says, when you give them the word, he says, you will preach and you will say, but they will not hear. They will see, but they will not see. What does that mean? They will hear it with their ears, but they made a decision. I don't receive that. I don't believe that. I don't need that. What's the first part we start talking about? God says, my people are destroyed for their lack of knowledge, because the knowledge that they're getting, they are rejecting it. And he says the same thing here. He says, when you begin to share this word with people, you're going to give them the information. The first part was giving you the information and comprehension. And then the third part of it was, over the last 8 weeks, has been the knowledge, understanding, and showing you the practical side, giving you the wisdom, a revelation on how to pray. He also says this. He says, because, you know, why am I having you share this with them? He says, because my people need to study. He says, my people need to study, not just to study to quote the word, but you want to study so you can be a doer of the word. He says, far too many people are hearing the word, but not very many people are being doers of the word. And in order for you to be a doer of the word, you got to get the three components. What's the three components? You got to get the knowledge, which is information. You got to get understanding, which is comprehension. And the third part is you got to get wisdom, which is where you have practical application. So you ask, what's the big deal? That's the big deal. In fact, he says this in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says this. I'm reading out of Amplified, and he says, study and eat and be eager to do your utmost to present yourselves to God, approved, tested by trial. He says, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed. Listen to this part right here. Correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, or rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. You know, the interesting thing about that is this: if you got to rightly divide the word of truth, that means it's possible for you to wrongly divide the word of truth. And God says so many people, when it comes to the subject of prayer, they're hearing, they're getting information, our knowledge on prayer, they have little to no comprehension or understanding about how to pray. So when it comes to the practical part of, they're trying to put the, you know, they're building a Frankenstein model, and they point trying to do all the same kind of parts and every type of prayer, and it's not like that. And God says the whole reason why we're taking all this time to teach people about the practical points of prayer is so that you will have knowledge, you will have understanding, and most importantly, you will have the wisdom to apply what it is that you hear. Why do you have to rightly divide the word of truth, man? Because in accordance to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Bible is the only book that you can, while you're reading it, it's reading you. The Bible is the only book that while you're reading it, it's also reading you. It says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. It says it this way. He says, for the word of God, I'm reading out of Amplified. He says, for the word of God, he says, for that word that God speaks is alive. So the word of God is alive. It's not a dead word. It's alive. It's full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. The word of God is also sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, your soul, and the immortal spirit, and the joints and marrows of the deepest parts of our nature. What does the word do? when that word begin, when you begin to read the word, when you begin to study the word, and you're reading the word, and the word is also reading you, what begins to happen? The word of God begins to expose. It's exposing, and it's sifting, and it's analyzing, and it's judging the very thoughts and purposes of our heart. So when you begin to read the word of God, that word is reading you. It's like you're looking into a mirror. And as you're looking into the mirror, kind of like when you get up in the morning, you get ready to do your hair and everything, and you're looking at it and everything, and you're looking in the mirror, and that mirror is giving you a reflection of what's standing in the mirror. It's the same when you're reading the word. That mirror is, when you're reading the word, that mirror, that word is giving you a reflection of what's going on in your life. And what sometimes what people try to do, they want to try, you can't adjust the mirror, because even if you change the mirror, you haven't affected the subject that's in the mirror. And it's the same way with the word. When you begin to read the word of God, if you don't make the adjustments, if you don't get the information, if you don't make sure that you have comprehension and understanding to the point where you're able to apply what it is that you have heard or that you have read or have you been studying, then you walk away the same way that you came. And God says it's time out. He says, no, I'm giving you this word. He says, because what my word is designed to do, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and 16, he says, my word is every scripture of God. He said, is God breathed, are given by inspiration and profitable. He says, my word, Milton, he says, is profitable for instruction. He says, for reproof and conviction of sins. He says, is good for correction. He also says that it's good for correction of errors and discipline and obedience. And for training in righteousness, he says, and in holy living, in conformity to God's will and thought, purpose, and action. He said, and the whole purpose of the word is for this. He says, so that the man or woman of God, he says, may be complete and proficient, well fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. So why do we use the word of God to teach people about the practical points of prayer? Is to give you knowledge, information, to give you comprehension or understanding, but thirdly, so that you can get wisdom or be able to apply what it is that you've heard. But the only way that works is if you made a decision, man, even though I once was a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child, I spoke as a child, but hey, I'm growing up. I'm making the decision today to grow up so I can go up. So I'm going to put away all those childish things. And though, hey, man, at this time, I really should be a teacher, though I don't need people to begin to teach me the you know, from a point of view, I need people to begin to teach me even the first principles of God's word. Hey, I have made a decision that I'm going to study to show myself approved. I'm going to use let that word, the power of that word begin. I'm going to let, because I know that word is alive. And because I know that that word alive, I know that what it's going to cut, it's going to cut in between all that stuff, all that other noise that I'm hearing on the outside. When I begin to study the word, I know the word is going to begin exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and purposes of my heart. Again, the Bible is the only book that you could read that while you're reading it, it's reading you. And the purpose of the scripture is not to beat you up. It's not to put you on a shame show. It's not to make you feel like a low down dirty dog. The whole purpose of the book of the Bible, the whole purpose of God's scripture is for what? For it's profitable or beneficial for you for instruction, for reproof and conviction of sin, for correction of error, for discipline in obedience, and for training in righteousness. And so the whole thing about it is God has given you this for this purpose, so that you as a man or woman of God may be complete, proficient, well-fitted, and thoroughly equipped for every good work. God wants you to succeed. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to be victorious in every area of your life. But there's three things you got to make sure you have. You have to have knowledge. which is information. You have to have comprehension, our understanding. And the third part you got to get is wisdom, which is the ability to apply the knowledge that you have. And what that takes, well, in order for you to be able to do that, you have to make a decision to be a student of the word to the point where you're going to study to show yourself approved to rightly divide the word of truth, because the word of God is alive. See, we're living right now a purpose-driven life. See, my responsibility as an apostle in the body of Christ is this reason. In accordance to first Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 10, he says that he's appointed me an overseer of the nations and the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, to overthrow, to build, and to plant. So what do we do? When he gives us, you know, he says, and according to Ezekiel 33 and 7, he says, son of man, I've made you a watchman. He says, therefore, hear the word. When I hear the word from God's mouth, my responsibility is to give the word to the people. My responsibility is to give the word to the people. And his word to the people was, you're being destroyed for your lack of knowledge. And the reason why you're being destroyed for your lack of knowledge is not because the knowledge or the information is not available to you, but you've made a decision to reject or to put off or cast away or lightly esteem the knowledge that has been shared with you. So you keep getting lumped up upside your head, and you're wondering, why are my prayers not working? And why is my family not working? And why is my situation not working? And God says, I spent this whole time sharing this message with you. He says, so you ask the question, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about practical points of prayer? What's the big deal about studying the word of God? Because the word of God is the only tool, is the only book that while you're reading it, it's reading you. And is exposing and is sifting and is analyzing and is judging the very intent of your heart. But the thing about it is, the only person he's sharing that with is you. That's the thing I love about God's word, that when you begin to read the word of God begins to speak back to you. And like I said, it's a mirror. It's a mirror that shows you a reflection of what's really going on in your life. Man, you don't have to put on a show for everybody else, because there's two people you can never lie to, God and yourself. So God's thing is, hey, I'm going to take this time out tonight to share with the people. What's the big deal? The big deal is this. I need you to study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you're going to need to make a decision. Hey, from this day forward, I'm going to set aside time every day to study the word. Not only am I going to make a decision to study the word, secondly, what I'm going to do is when I hear the word, I'm going to go back and listen to the message again so I can write down all the addresses that the person gave who shared the message. For what purpose? So you can go back and study for yourself what was being shared. Why? Because when you begin to study it, the word, remember, the first part is the knowledge, so you'll have the information. The second part is comprehension. Just like when you was in high school or university or college or whatever, you trade school, you heard the information, you had some level of understanding, but you had to go back and study it again and again till you begin to get what? Comprehension. And then once you got comprehension, then you was able to do it. And the whole thing about it, I'm not even promoting Nike, just do it. Get the knowledge, get the comprehension and understanding, so that you can apply wisdom. Because again, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is the principal thing. It's the same thing about being born again. You know, a lot of people say, what's the big deal about being born again? The big deal about being born again, Jesus told us in John chapter 3, he says, the reason why you must be born again, he says, because except you be born again, you cannot even understand, comprehend, or perceive the kingdom of God, our God's governance system, our God's way of doing things. That's the whole deal about being born again. You got to understand, Jesus came to give you life in abundance to the full, till it overflows. And he says, I made it available to you. He says, but the only way that you can receive it is you have to make a decision on your part. Jesus, I want what it is that you came to give me. And it's so simple. In accordance to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it says it this way. I've given you the knowledge. I just give me understanding. And now I'm going to give you opportunity to apply what it is you're about to hear. See, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith that we preach, that if you will confess or acknowledge with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Now, a lot of people think when you say saved, saved from what? Man, that word saved means salvation. It means healing. It means deliverance. It means wholeness. It means protection. So when you receive Jesus as Lord, you receive healing, deliverance, wholeness, safety, and protection. All that's included in that word saved. He says, for with the mouth confession, he says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that with me right now. Confess it out of your mouth, mean it from your heart, and we're going to take the knowledge that we've given and the comprehension, and we're going to use wisdom or apply what it is that we heard. And it's as simple as this. Say this with me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he was put in a grave, but now he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I turn from sin and I receive your offer of forgiveness. Right now, I'm born again. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for receiving me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you pray that prayer for the very first time, we want to welcome you into the body of Christ, welcome you back into right relationship with God, and welcome you into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, we just said, remember, Jesus said, except you be born again, you cannot comprehend, see, or understand the kingdom of God, our God's government system, our God's way of doing things. But now that you're in the body of Christ, man, what do you have to do? You have to get your Bible out. And what do you got to do? You got to begin to study. I would say if you're going to begin to study, man, start with the book of John. Understand the deity of Jesus. So start with the book of John, chapter 1, and each day read a proverb. Proverb has 31 chapters in it. So you can pick a chapter for every day and just read through the chapter. And it's a book about wisdom. And what have we been talking about all night tonight? Knowledge, which is information, understanding and comprehension, and wisdom, which is application. So when you begin to study that word, and you're going to study and you're not going to rush through, you want to read it, and you know, you want to get your concordance, which can give you some definition of the words you're going to read. Because if you read the Bible using your definitions for today, those words, when they spoke it back in the time that the Bible was written, are very different. The Old Testament is written in Hebrew and the New Testament is written in Greek. So you got to make sure that you'll be able to define those words. And we use the Webster's 1828 dictionary, and we have a Strong's Concordance app that's available on apps on Apple Store and also in Google Play. Now, I just want to share with you real quick that, you know, if you want to hear this message again and other messages that led up the other 8 messages on practical points of prayer, as well as the 5 on Lord Teach Us How to Pray. Hey, we got our podcast QR code on the screen right now. You can go back and you can click on it, and you can or scan the QR code, and it'll take you right to the podcast, Ignite to Life podcast, and you'll be able to hear this and other messages as well. If you want to be a blessing to the ministry and support the ministry, hey, you know, sowing seed into the ministry helps us to be able to get the message off, because this broadcast goes across the world. So if you want to be a blessing, hey, scan the QR code or go to our website at ignitetolife.com, ignitetolife.com, and you'll be able to get all the information on how to give there. And also, we want to share with you about the book we published last month, called Point of No Return, and it will help you discover your true identity and purpose in Christ. Man, it's a great book. It just really helps you to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, and it's a powerful, powerful tool. So on behalf of Pastor Juwin and the entire nation, Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and remember this, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and with all you're getting, get understanding. We'll see you next time. God bless you. Bye.
We'll be right back.